issue. It's what helps us come together as neighbors, because we get out in our neighborhoods, walk the streets, and talk to each other during that process. But it has two components to it. Not only do we need to concentrate on the infrastructure component of walkability in terms of what Mr. Perry mentioned, you know, getting the dollars we need to provide the infrastructure for pedestrian safety and walkability, but we also have to give people places to walk to. Community centers that people are going to want to go to, like a coffee shop or a bookstore or a store that that they can walk to in order to get what they need. In order to do that, I think we need to take a broader approach to just talking about sidewalks and streetlights. We need to, again, create incentives to bring businesses into these corridors so that people have something to walk to. And I think we need to talk about complete streets that make it possible for traffic to flow in these corridors, but also allow people to walk and bicycle safely during their time when they're going between their homes and the places they'd like to walk to.
Well, let me ask you guys a question, and I get a minute response that would fit our time peg perfectly, but do you feel like District 10, people frequently think that District 10 is a district that already seems to be well-established and does not have the needs of the rest of the city, and so that it's the role of the city council person from District 10 to make sure that it gets its fair share of services from the city as a whole? And I'll start off with you, Mr. Ezra.
Well, if I'm understanding the question that you're positing, you know, District 10 is facing challenges just like every other district in San Antonio. You know, a lot of the neighborhoods were constructed almost 40 or 50 years ago, and so they're starting to face the same challenges that some of our older neighborhoods are facing. So, yes, I do feel it's incumbent to point out to people that, you know, in spite of the conventional wisdom, District 10 does have some challenges in terms of infrastructure, and we need to have a seat at the table in order to get what we need to address those concerns.
And Clayton Perry, sir.
Yeah. If you talk to the citizens out in District 10, they have a lot of concerns and a lot of needs. Number one is crime, but important is the infrastructure that they have out in those areas. Many, many areas that I walked, you have streets that are crumbling. I even had to get a four-wheel drive vehicle to get around some places in District 10. It's that bad. And people are desperate out there. They want the help. They need the relief. And that's what a city councilman is supposed to do, is pay attention to their district and fight for everything that they can to support their citizens and neighbors.
All right. And you got to know the district.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And both you are telling me that you're doing a lot of walking as you are campaigning and losing weight in the process and showing that walking is a benefit for the entire city. The early voting starts on Tuesday, May the 30th, ends on June the 6th. That's early voting. And the election day is Saturday, June 10th. We're going to continue talking with our two candidates for District 10 when we come back from this break. Ezra Johnson is with us and Clayton Perry. And our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment, the number is 210-614-8980. We're having a town hall meeting right here on the radio, asking you to ask these candidates the tough questions that you want answers. 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Clayton Perry, Ezra Johnson, those are the two names that will be on the ballot when you go to vote in the runoff on Saturday, June 10th for District 10. They want to represent the sprawling, as always described as sprawling. We'll find out maybe why that is. District that's kind of to the north and northeast of San Antonio. If you've got a question or a comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. David has called in. And David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Earlier in the broadcast, Mr. Perry indicated that he represented the conservative values of the district, but there wasn't any articulation of what those were. And I'd like them to explain that and allow the other candidate, Mr. Johnson, to have time to respond to that.
All right. Thank you for that call, David. When you look at actually the voting patterns for the district, it's really not 100% conservative. There is some diversity of opinion in the areas. So, and we've seen it also in some of our representation from District 10 over the years. But so, Clayton Perry, can you describe what it is that you mean when you say you are the conservative in this race?
Well, number one, fiscal conservative. I am one that wants to keep the money into the pockets of the neighborhoods. That is very important to me. I'm a law and order type of person. And so fiscal conservatism, in my career, I have built hundreds of millions of dollars worth of budgets, being in the Air Force and a major engineering and construction firm. And I stuck to those budgets. You can't have cost overruns in those and still maintain those companies or your position in the Air Force. So, yes, I am a fiscal conservative, law and order type of person, and those are two of my big areas of concern here for this race. And I think that reflects the majority of people in District 10.
All right. So, Ezra Johnson, what are you hearing when you hear that your opponent describes himself as the conservative in this race?
Well, I would say that local government is the last bastion in America of nonpartisan governance, and I want to respect that very deeply. I've never seen a Democratic pothole or a Republican streetlight. Public safety is a bipartisan issue, and being responsible with the taxpayer dollars that are entrusted to us is, I think, a shared value. No one wants to see their tax dollars wasted. Everyone wants to see our first responders given the support that they deserve and that they require, and that the city's needs are attended to. We need to make sure that our streets are properly maintained, that our garbage gets picked up on time, and I just don't see that through the lens of liberal versus conservative.
All right. Can I respond to that just real quickly?
Okay.
This is something that is very important, and the listeners need to understand this. I have worked in the neighborhoods my entire time that I've been here in District 10, 26 years, and serving the neighborhood, the Northeast Neighborhood Alliance, and District 10. Ezra has not done that. He has been the Democratic deputy chair of the Democratic Party here in Bexar County, sitting right next to Manuel Medina, who was the chairman. And that was his focus, is the Democratic Party. He was never involved in any neighborhood activities. You can call up the president in El Dorado, Renette King, and she'll tell you that they tried to get him involved in their neighborhood with letters, knocking on his door, he wouldn't answer, or attend any neighborhood meetings. How can you represent the neighborhoods if you've never participated in that?
Okay, so Ezra Johnson, I know that you recently resigned from the Bexar County Democratic Party as your precinct chair or something, but you resigned?
I did, again, because I made a solemn promise to the voters of District 10 that I would respect the nonpartisan nature of City Council. I did, in fact, resign that position. Clayton's mentor and campaign manager Carlton Sewell supported Manuel Medina for mayor. So again, I just don't see this as a liberal versus conservative issue. This is the first time that I've been talked in terms about my interaction with what I did in El Dorado. I'll be happy to talk to anyone about the work that I did for El Dorado when I first moved into the neighborhood. Also, I was very active in the Beacon Hill Neighborhood Association when the city wanted to impose zoning overlay, a conservation overlay on our neighborhood. I was very active in the Neighborhood Association in terms of liaising with the city about what the terms of that was going to be. So I have, in fact, been civically engaged this whole time.
And right. I don't understand.
We're going to go to another caller.
Okay.
Hey, Joyce, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much. So this is about traffic safety. And I know you said not to get into a particular area, but it is off O'Connor and Corian Springs, where O'Connor in 1604. To the west of that is Bulverde. That area is growing tremendously. There's a new HEB coming up, just a whole bunch of retail. But then that leads to more traffic cutting through our subdivision. With your predecessor, for the last 2 years, I've been trying to get a traffic light there. And the engineers have said it doesn't require one. All we do is right turns. I said, but there's a subdivision across the street. and there's no crosswalk. People walk up and down O'Connor. There's beautiful sidewalks, but you can't, if you walk all the way down to O'Connor or even toward Corian Springs, you can't cut across. There's no traffic lights. There's no safety crosswalk.
Okay.
So that is my question. How do we get a traffic signal?
All right, Joyce, thank you for that question. I'd like to add that to that question when you respond. What about lowering the overall speed limit for all residential areas in San Antonio? But let me start off with Ezra Johnson. Go ahead.
Well, certainly on, so as I've been walking the neighborhoods of District 10 and talking to folks at their doors about their particular concerns, I'm making a list of all the things that are mentioned to me in terms of you know, intersections that need traffic signals and areas that are not being maintained properly. So, you know, I'm going to add this to that list, and we're going to be working through those systematically to see what we can do on City Council to start tackling those issues. In terms of, you know, I'm a big proponent of lowering the speed limits to 25 in our neighborhoods, if that's what the neighborhoods would like to do. If they come to council and say, we'd like to have a blanket reduction in our subdivision or our neighborhood down to 25, the city can do that. We don't need to ask the state's permission, and I'm very sensitive and would be very sympathetic to making that change.
Clayton Perry, sir.
Just real simply put, I am an engineer, and I know how to make those kinds of improvements. I've done that my whole career, and I would love to come out to your area and find a solution to your individual problems in your neighborhoods. Absolutely.
All right, then. Jacob is on the line. Jacob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, sir. Ask your question.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hi. Thank you for having me, David. Listen to your show quite often. Just
thank
need
you.
To step out here for a second. Have a question about our city parks, specifically in District 10, McAllister, and would like to pose the question, do the candidates support an ordinance or rule that would protect parkland from being leased out to private sports organizations?
Okay. So private sports organizations and also private companies like Google or stuff? Is that what you're talking about, Jacob?
No, just private sports organizations.
Okay.
Soccer leagues, baseball leagues. The city recently has been engaging in leasing off public land for $1 to build soccer fields and baseball fields at the expense of green space land.
Okay. All right. Jacob, thank you for that. And so Clayton Perry, sir.
Thank you, Jacob. Good question. I am a pro-park person. In fact, I'm a member of the Friends of McAllister Park, and I've attended the meetings, and they are very interested in that, as well as I am, and I will protect McAllister Park and the rest of the parks within District 10 as well from any future developments that would take out our trees, our trails. All of that is very important to people in District 10, and I intend to protect that, absolutely.
All right, Ezra Johnson, sir.
I have honestly very little to add to that. I agree with the caller. I know that's a particularly sensitive issue, especially for McAllister Park, as more and more of it is being utilized for sports fields. I am very much wanting to keep our parks in their natural state whenever possible. And I also want to expand our parks and green spaces. One of the things I'd really like to focus on in District 10 is making the Salado Creek Greenway go through Fort Sam Houston. And I think we can get that done.
Another caller, Jack. And Jack, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, thank you. My question is, I believe the city has annually put funds in to purchase land on the perimeter of San Antonio or in our jurisdiction to protect the aquifer and to keep it as, you know, a natural state of landscape. Do the candidates support continued funding of that?
All right, Jack, thank you for the question. And Clayton Perry, sir.
Sure. I supported that. I voted for that. And I will continue to support that because it is very important for our aquifer and protecting it. And, you know, it grants us additional green space around our area to make you feel like you're out in the country. That's why I live where I do, because it's an area that It makes you feel like you're not downtown in the middle of development, but out where it's nice to live in a nice country environment.
Ezra Johnson, sir.
Yes, so I think the program that the caller is talking about was a voter-approved initiative in order to be able to generate
1/8 cent sales tax.
Right, and yes, I agree that that's something that's important to the city and that the voters have approved that, and I would continue to support that. But the other thing I would point out is that, you know, those initiatives create what are called conservation easements that the city then has to enforce and protect. And, you know, there's going to be encroaching development during that process, and I think it'll be incumbent upon the city to continue to protect those conservation easements.
And there'll also be questions down the line about whether or not that 1/8 cent sales tax could be diverted to some other major need that the city of San Antonio has. So, yeah, this program is popular and it's needed, but we have to weigh all of these things. It's complicated, and it's going to be big decisions for our leaders of the future. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. District 10 City Council candidates are here with us. Ezra Johnson, Clayton Perry. You get to vote on them on Saturday, June the 10th. That's the runoff date. Early voting begins on May 30th. One issue, you know, although you represent District 10, you make decisions for the entire city. And one big decision that they've had recently is about the Alamo redesign. We had a question from an email about whether or not y'all support the glass walls or moving the cenotaph, all these things dealing with the Alamo redesign, and if the city council should have more involvement in making those decisions. So, Clayton Perry, where are you on that?
I am not for that development. Again, that's my wheelhouse. We need to relook at it. If we need to reimagine the Alamo, we can do that without these glass walls, moving the cenotaph, and turning that into what I saw was a semi-arid desert in that area. We don't need that here in San Antonio. There's been a lot of focus on that and a lot of comments that from citizens that we're against that. I mean, for goodness sakes, we got an architect from Philadelphia to put this plan together. We didn't even use our local talent that we have here in San Antonio to come up with that. So, yes, there's some major flaws in that. And as I understand it, the city did not pass any particular design or anything. They just passed something to keep this process moving forward. And when I get in there, I'm going to make sure that it reflects what the citizens of San Antonio would like to see. And, you know, the land office here in Texas has a very important part in that. In fact, a lot of the funding from that agency. So that's something that we need to relook and make sure that we're doing the right thing and for as little money as possible.
All right, Ezra Johnson.
Well, I'd like to start by saying that one of the reasons why I supported the most recent bond is because of the amount of civic engagement that was part of that process. And I've been very pleased to see the excellent suggestions that have been made by citizens in the Alamo redesign process, and I think they're all very well taken. The glass walls, I agree with a lot of our citizens that's not something I'd like to see. We'd like to keep the trees, the heritage trees that are there need to stay, and that because of citizen input, they did make that change. The cenotaph is being relocated to a place that's probably more historically appropriate for it to be. So I think if we continue to engage the citizenry in this process, I think what we're going to come up with is an Alamo master plan that all of us can be pleased with. So to all of your listeners out there, please continue to be engaged. Please get out there and talk to your representatives, and we will make this work.
Back to the phones with Tony. And Tony, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good morning. It's great to talk to you. The main concern in San Antonio, our public transit system is 30 years old. And they've been doing the same way that they've been doing for 30 years. But we need to drastically upgrade the public transit system all over San Antonio. There are many areas of San Antonio where the buses don't run that often. They don't run that late. you have a long way to catch the bus, and then when you catch the bus, you have a long time to ride the bus to get, okay, and then turn free. So that's my main concern.
All right. So, Tony, thank you for the call. So, candidates, Ezra Johnson, where are you on public transportation? Especially, do you have any thoughts about light rail?
Thank you for the call, Tony. Yes, I've been building relationships with the folks over at VIA and talking to them about what they'd like to see in terms of expansion and development in the future. You know, I'm very excited to talk about our public transit system, and one of the things I'd like to do is give more support to VIA in its mission. Right now, they're trying to do more with less. I'd like our next five-year bond to be a specific transportation bond that develops the infrastructure that's going to help VIA do its job. In terms of light rail, I don't think San Antonio's development is dense enough to support a light rail system economically. I'm in favor of what's called a bus rapid transit system, which does the same thing as light rail. It gets the transportation out of traffic like light rail, but it uses buses instead of trains. We can do that more inexpensively, and we can do it faster, and that's the kind of fiscal conservatism that I think I can bring to that this process.
Okay, Clayton Perry, sir.
Yes, thank you very much. If you look at the budgets back in 2015, VIA was funded over $200 million. And in that plan, they're going to be replacing the bus fleet. They have a $500 million construction program and new transit facilities throughout, and improving their corridors and replacing those buses with the compressed natural gas. So that was back in 2015. Well, guess what? It's 2017 now, and they've had a $20 million increase in their budget and they're proud of the fact that they can live within this half-cent sales tax. Ezra wants to increase double that to one cent, and I don't know where he's going to get that extra money from, but that's where he's trying to get additional funds out of your pockets to fund VIA. They're doing fine. They're replacing their buses. They're including technology, and their budget is increasing each year with the growth here in San Antonio, and they are working to improve their services.
So, Ezra, do you want to respond to that? Is that a fair representation of your view?
It's not. I don't know. Well, let me just say that, you know, right now we're at our sales tax cap. We can't possibly increase it any farther, so I certainly wouldn't be able to, even if I wanted to do that, it wouldn't be possible. But VIA is moving along on these projects very, very rapidly. They've already, half of their bus stops are sheltered. Their fleet is coming in online on time and on budget, but they need more help because that half cent is just not enough. And I think our bond system is the way to make that possible.
Okay. I want to say he needs to go back and listen to his little video snippets on his Facebook where he indeed says he wants to increase it to one cent versus a half cent on tax. And my question was, where is he going to find that? You got to cut something,
right,
to increase that. So, yes, that was on one of his videos.
Okay. That's not correct.
I didn't
yes,
see that.
Is.
I looked at all the videos. I didn't see that. Maybe I'm missing something.
He took it off.
Okay, so real quickly, last question here before we get to exit comments. We got a river barge contract, which is before the city council. Some people have said that politics has played a role in this. This is from an email question we got from William Townsend. So how are you going to try and keep politics out of making these types of decisions? Let's start off with Clayton Perry.
Well, again, I spent an Air Force career, 21 years, that was nonpartisan. I've worked in my neighborhood. I've worked in the Northeast Neighborhood Alliance and District 10 activities that is truly nonpartisan. That's just not the way I look at things. And I just want to compare in contrast to what Ezra has done his career, and that's focus on Democratic policies and being the Democratic deputy chairman here in Bexar County. And yes, I am nonpartisan, and that's the way I will sit there on council in a nonpartisan view.
Okay, and so Ezra Johnson, this barge contract, politics playing a role, is that a concern for you? How would you keep that out?
Well, I want to answer that question because it is a concern for me, but I would just like to point out that, you know, what I've been focusing on for the last several years is my wife and I have been school teachers, and then we've been raising a family and going to law school and developing a successful law practice, spending time out in the community with my musical groups. Working with the St. Mary's Law Alumni Board, that's been a big focus of mine in terms of civic engagement. But I am concerned about politics in the barge contract process because right now there's just no set policy. We can get politics out of the high-profile contract system if we actually sit down and set a policy that everyone can follow.
Okay, let's go to the closing comments now. And due to the flip of the coin at earlier the program, we determined that Clayton Perry would have a minute to close out the program, and then we'll go to Ezra Johnson. So, Mr. Perry.
Well, I just want to reiterate what I just said. There's two real key differences here. The first is that I've spent my life in service to my community in a nonpartisan way, first with the military and then focused on my neighborhood in District 10. Ezra has been deeply involved in partisan politics with the Democratic Party, and his focus has been winning elections for the Democrats. Second, my focus is District 10 first, and the larger city of San Antonio second. And if you listen to this and know what his issues are, Ezra is more focused on citywide issues with less emphasis on District 10. So when it comes down to it, again, Mr. Johnson is a very nice guy and a very good lawyer, but he doesn't reflect the conservative values of the majority of the people here in District 10.
All right, and your final comments, Ezra Johnson.
Well, thank you, David, for having us today, and I want to thank everybody who called in and listened. I got into this race because I wanted to give back to the community that gave so much to me. I owe much of my personal success and happiness to the people of the city that I grew up in. As I went out to listen to the voters in District 10, I heard repeated concerns about how divided we are as a country right now. Campaigning for this office has helped me to see how we can bridge our divide. We need to spend more time together as neighbors. I want to strengthen our neighborhoods and our neighborhood associations so that we can start meeting our challenges together. I want to do that through enhancing the safety and walkability of our neighborhoods, developing realistic solutions to our traffic challenges, and making San Antonio a city we can all be proud of. My opponent has decided to go in the opposite direction. Rather than bringing us together, he wants to keep dividing us. That's not the city I grew up in. That's not what San Antonio is all about. Our shared values as San Antonians is to come together in times of crisis and challenge.
Okay, that's 1 minute. All right, thank y'all both. We want to thank y'all. The election day is Saturday, June the 10th. Early voting begins on May the 30th. Also on Monday, May 22nd, we're going to have the runoff candidates for District 8 with us. Thanks for listening. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Kim Johnson, Jan Ross Piedad, and David Martin Davies. Management and oversight provided by News Director Shelley Koffler, and production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation and the GAC Health Foundation.